This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
Until this cold and flu season is abated, the reception of the blood of Christ through the chalice will be postponed.
That's the voice of Monsignor John Darcy of St. Sebastian Catholic Church in Providence, Rhode Island. Part of a story, maybe you've heard this, with the onset of a pretty severe flu season, they're calling it an epidemic in some parts of the country. Churches, and in this case, Catholic churches, have decided to change the Sunday morning practice, not only with regard to the reception of the Lord's Supper, in this case, withholding the chalice altogether from the people because of the danger of the spread of the flu virus and the other germs, but also the handshaking, usually called the sharing of the peace, sometimes an embrace goes along with it. That's going to be curtailed as well in order to cut down on the spread of the flu. Now, this is a concern that a lot of people have. I was in church yesterday. I was presiding at the Lord's Supper, and I don't know if it was just me, but I did notice a few more people opting for, in our church, we have both individual cups and the chalice, opting for the individual cups. And there's an idea there, it may not be founded in fact, that the individual cups do less to spread germs, or that somehow the chalice, the common cup, does more to spread germs. I want your reaction to this. If flu is a touchy subject, nobody wants to get it, nobody wants to pass it on, and in a lot of ways, we know how to prevent this. I was in a hospital earlier today, and I saw a big sign that said flu prevention, and it gave three or four steps that everyone can do every day to keep from spreading the flu around. And that's a concern in hospitals. It's a concern every place we gather, the workplace. What about Sunday morning at church? It's Audio Open Lines Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Welcome back. In this second hour, we're going to be getting your reaction to a story from, I believe, NBC News on some practices, some communion and worship practices changing in Catholic churches, and I'm sure they have changed in other churches as well, just not making the headlines. Get your reaction to this story about changing worship practices during flu season in order to prevent the spread or in order to appease people's fears about the flu and handshaking and communion practice, drinking from the same cup. I want your reaction. 1-877-623-6943. Audio open lines, issues, etc. 1-877-623-6943. Should churches change their worship practices during flu season? Everybody has handshaking. We do at our door. Should we stop doing that? I mean, it's not only during the flu season, but sometimes during the course of a year, someone's coming out of church and I extend my hand to shake their hand and they just kind of hold their hands up and say, "Sorry, I have a cold." And I don't force myself upon them. They're trying to keep from passing along the germs. So churches change their worship practices during flu season. 1-877-623-6943. We're coming to you live this Monday afternoon. 1-877-623-6943. You can email us with your reaction. Include your city and state. Talkback at issuesetc.org. Talkback at issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc, or we've left some space at our Facebook fan page for you not only to watch the NBC package on this story, but also to leave your reaction as well. Include your city and state there as well, our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. The basic question I want your answer to: should churches change their worship practices during flu season? Here's the story from NBC News.
At St. Sebastian Church in Providence, a few things are different here for Sunday Mass.
To refrain from shaking hands at the rite of peace, I invited them to just turn and verbally exchange a greeting.
A sign of the times indeed, Monsignor John Darcy says they're not taking any chances when it comes to keeping people healthy.
Until this cold and flu season is abated, the reception of the blood of Christ through the chalice will be postponed.
As a retired nurse, I'm very much concerned.
Okay, a little bit of the story from NBC. Everybody has these kind of concerns. I thought about it today, went to visit an elderly person in the hospital, as I mentioned before. She's having some sort of respiratory problems. One of my concerns that ran through my mind is, well, maybe she's got the flu. And of course, as a pastor, I head on in. It's my obligation. It's my duty. It's my responsibility. And I shake her hand. I do all of those things. But what about on Sunday morning when you enter the church? Should we be changing our worship practices during flu season out of fear of spreading it or out of fear of getting it, like sharing the peace, shaking hands with one another in the course of Sunday morning, or how you receive the Lord's Supper? Well, maybe that chalice has got someone else's germs in it, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to opt for an individual cup. Maybe I won't even go to communion this Sunday or for the next couple Sundays until the whole flu epidemic has blown over. What do you think about that? 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-IE. I want your answer to those questions and your reaction to this story from NBC News about churches changing their worship practices during flu season. 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org or leave a question, a comment, or your reaction at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc.
The flu has all of us taking precautions at work and home. It only makes sense to extend those measures to our place of worship.
I think it's very good because you really have to be careful. And I work in a bank and we, you know, constantly, like, you know, doing the Purell, going in the back, washing our hands, so.
Which is why Catholic Bishop Thomas Tobin recommended parishes throughout the diocese be proactive. Here at St. Sebastian, in addition to what they wouldn't be doing at Mass, Monsignor Darcy also stressed something his parishioners should be doing.
We're refraining from handshaking and receiving from the cup, but also to pray for those who are presently affected by the flu, especially the elderly and the young.
All right, a little bit more of that in just a minute. What do you make of this? Now, I imagine a lot of people say, well, golly, if the Catholics have the standard practice, they don't have individual cups when it comes to the Lord's Supper. They have the standard practice of a common cup, and if people are fearful of this, maybe the most prudent thing to do is to simply withhold the cup, which is what they're going to be doing there at St. Sebastian and in that diocese. What do you make of it? 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-IE, facebook.com/issuesetc, or send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. Do you refrain from shaking hands? Either in the sharing of the peace during Sunday morning or when everybody's shaking hands afterwards. Do you, perhaps you just don't go to church. I'm not talking about if you have the flu, if you're afraid of getting the flu. Well, I don't know who there might be sick. We're all enclosed in one big space. It's cold outside. The windows are closed. That's just a place to go get the flu. 1-877-623-6943. Let's see what Andy in Kirkwood, Missouri has to say. Hi, Andy.
Well, Todd, I am a person who lives primarily in the past, and I can remember when Roman Catholics were not allowed to receive from the cup at all. So postponing merely for the flu season is a mere quibble. The fact that they are allowed normally to receive the blood of Christ is a great step. But I'll tell you another story from the distant past, back before there was such a thing as air conditioning. And they used to, in the communion set on the altar, have a little slotted spoon. And I can remember one day my pastor told me that it was hot summertime, they had the windows open, and a little swarm of fruit flies flew in at the window and immediately plunged into the chalice, which, of course, had wine in it. Fruit fly would be attracted. And the pastor, without blinking, picked up the slotted spoon, fished out the flies, and continued serving communion. I'm not going to worry about the flu bug when taking communion. I have other things on my mind at that time. Thank you.
All right, Andy, thank you very much. Thanks for listening in Kirkwood. What about the rest of you? Andy's not concerned. Of course, he's quite right. People of a generation or so ago would probably be laughing at us and all of our precautions. And I think every parish I've ever served has had that little slotted spoon. When we serve wine at the Wilkin House during the summer and we have the windows open there, one of my wife's biggest gripes is that she can't keep the flies, those little tiny gnats, out of her wine glass. Well, it's true for generations past with the communion chalice as well, and they made provision for it, and people still received the Lord's Supper. What about the flu scare when it comes to Sunday morning? Should we change our worship practices to accommodate people's fears or your own cautions or just good hygiene practice? Let's see what Pete has to say. Pete is calling from his car. Hi, Pete.
Hey, how's it going?
Very well.
Appreciate the opportunity. Just a little background. I'm actually a fourth degree Knights of Columbus, so I know a little something. Also a Eucharistic minister. So bottom line is the chalice has always been optional. It's not required to receive the whole body of Christ, just the Eucharist itself. So, and although the church says that you should use precaution when it comes to health reasons, that should never be a primary reason for any alteration of the Mass. The Mass was given to us, and it's been carried down for 2,000 years by the Church. It is not to be altered for health reasons or things of that magnitude. So, you know, the sign of the peace, you know, we've always entertained slight alterations and things like that, but the part of the Mass of giving some sign of peace should be maintained, and all priests and such should emphasize that. The fact that we have, just practice modifications, but we can't change the parts of the Mass. So the chalice, yes, it's always been optional. It should still be optional, you know, if someone wants to take, quote-unquote, the chance. But the Eucharist is the key, and as long as the Eucharist continues to be offered, it is up to the parishioners to make that state of grace decision for themselves when they approach the altar.
Pete, thank you very much for your Knight of Columbus heard from there on the kind of traditional Eucharistic practice of the Roman Catholics. Of course, that's the occasion for my question about should worship practices be changed during flu season. He says, well, in the traditional sense among Roman Catholics, not for health considerations. No, 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 even though that is what's happening. We'll get to the rest of our phone calls and to your questions and comments on that question, whether or not worship practices should be changed during flu season after this break. Do you struggle with how to pray? The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for January is A Simple Way to Pray. It's written by Martin Luther and translated by Matt Harrison. A Simple Way to Pray costs less than $2 plus shipping and handling. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase A Simple Way to Pray by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. A Simple Way to Pray, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January.
Does your church need a backup organist? The Virtual Organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Theology for blue collar, white collar, and clerical collar. You're listening to Issues Etc.
In a world awash with all sorts of information, opinions, and ideas, there is still a place where God's Word is the central and only focus. Messiah Lutheran Church, 801 North Madison, Lebanon, Illinois. At 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, God's people gather there to listen to Him. There you will find His words of law and gospel, and of course, our Lord's Holy Supper. Bible classes focus on the Bible and the Lutheran confessions. Come, listen, believe, and live, and check out our website at messiahlebanon.org.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Audio Open Lines on this Monday afternoon, the 14th of January. NBC has a story about a Roman Catholic parish, I think it's a group of parishes, in fact, in Providence, Rhode Island, that have decided that during the flu epidemic, which in some parts of the country it is now at least technically, statistically an epidemic, during the flu epidemic, as difficult as it is to fight and prevent, they are going in their churches on Sunday morning to alter some of their worship practices to accommodate health concerns. One of them will be to, as our caller before the break pointed out, the chalice has always been optional for the laity. There's some things I'll say about that in a minute, hoping to stay on the subject here. So they're going to withhold the chalice during the course of the flu epidemic, and then they're also going to refrain from the sharing the peace, asking the people to verbally greet one another with the peace rather than the traditional handshake or embrace that's often practiced in many Catholic and non-Catholic parishes. What about your church? Have you noticed your church changing anything during flu season? Have you noticed that perhaps they've said, okay, we don't have to shake hands? Or if you're concerned about the spread of germs, we're offering individual cups as opposed to the common cup. That seems to be, in a lot of parishes, the practice, including mine, I will admit, the practice year-round. If you have concerns about a common cup, we offer the individual cup. It's an accommodation to people's concerns there, for good or for ill. Now, during flu season, do you switch from receiving the common cup to the individual cup? 1-877-623-6943. I want to hear from you. We're coming to you live. 1-877-623-MY-IE. Calling for a little honesty here. Okay? All of us, regardless of how pious we might imagine ourselves, have these thoughts running through our head during cold and flu season. We all say, look, I don't want to get sick. I don't want to miss work. I don't want to make my family sick. I don't want to spread it around to anybody else. Should churches be changing their worship practices for health concerns during flu season? 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-IE. Visit our Facebook fan page and leave your question or comment or reaction there, facebook.com/issuesETC. Or you can also send us an email right here in the studio. We get them in real time. And we can respond, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. Micah says, just increase hand washing. Now, that's true. That's one of the little hints that they had at the hospital for me this morning. Wash your hands more often as you possibly can. Of course, that doesn't alleviate the concern that many people have about a common cup. That would perhaps alleviate the concern about the handshaking to a certain degree. But not about the common cup, because it's not just about contact with hands, but there it's about contact with lips on the edge of the cup as well. 1-877-623-6943. talkback@issuesetc.org, or go to our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Luke says in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, isn't Jesus in the wine? Doesn't that guy heal the sick? Well, it's a good question. It's actually, and I think other listeners probably concur, it's actually why many people forge ahead and say, we don't, and Andy was included in that, I don't worry about getting sick from the common cup. I have other things to think about while receiving the Lord's Supper. Jan is listening in Atlanta, Georgia. Jan, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thank you, Pastor. I love it. Yes, he is with and under in the bread and wine. I sent you an email, so I hope you don't read that, too. But Mark 14 and Luke 22 recount Christ's institution of the Lord's Supper, which should not be modified by man's temporal concerns. Our Lutheran church didn't change from the bread and wine during Prohibition, did we?
No.
So it's not from faith that we seek to avoid disease during this most holy sacrament. Our minds, by the Holy Spirit, should be focused on the healing and forgiveness that we will get from the cup. And this is an aside, but as far as passing the peace, from a biblical perspective, we should be greeting each other with a holy kiss, shouldn't we?
Well, that was the practice of the apostles. Yes, it was.
And finally, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And his forgiveness covers our fear of contracting some illness. And I just pray that we go to the table in faith and receive what he has for us.
Jan, thank you very much for listening in Atlanta, especially thanks for that last point here. That's a very important thing. Smartest listeners in radio, as I often say, in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Let's talk with Ryan. Hi, Ryan.
Hi.
What are your thoughts?
I've been thinking about this since yesterday. I'm a chaplain assistant in the Army Reserve, and I had set up for Mass and got it all ready, and I was waiting in the back, you know, because I never participate in Mass because I'm a Lutheran, but I always set up for them. And someone brought up to the priest this very issue, and I was awestruck that it took them all of 2 seconds to decide we're not going to distribute the cup. And I watched the Mass from the back of the chapel, and he drank the cup, and they came up and they got the bread, and there was no question from anyone that was there. And I guess what shocked me was the speed of the decision. No, we're not going to do the cup. And maybe I'm just spoiled as a Lutheran that when we have issues like this, we talk about it ad nauseum. We kind of have a tendency to beat the proverbial dead horse about it. You know, I was weirded out. I don't know. Is it still kind of on their books that since the bread is the body of Christ, the blood is there too? Is that?
Well, I don't know about the books. I know that, and this really is a historical innovation. It's an ancient innovation, but it's an innovation nonetheless, that to offer the Lord's Supper in one kind, as we might say, that is, only the host, only the body, and not also the chalice. And our previous Roman Catholic caller was quite correct. It's always been optional, but it has at times in history been considered standard for the laity not to receive the chalice. And I think with that history behind it, I can understand. I don't agree with, but I can understand why it would kind of been the no-brainer that it was that you observed there. Oh, you have some concerns? We won't offer the cup because it just in terms of practice, if not in teaching, to receive in one kind was considered to be the same as to receive in both kinds. And that probably explains why it was, well, a quick decision on their part. Not that we agree with it, but we do understand why that decision was so easy to make. And thank you very much. I think that's Ryan in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Thanks for listening there. Let's see what Ann has to say. She listens in St. Louis.
Well, hi, Todd. The past couple of weeks, the past month, I've been sick, and I generally take the common cup, but because of my sickness, I did just take the little individual cups. I didn't want to share this. I coughed so hard the other night, I pulled a muscle in my back, so I did not want to share that. But on the whole, I don't think many people take the common cup at any time. Just an observation.
Yeah, and I think that varies from parish to parish. Anne, thanks for listening in St. Louis. Now, you've highlighted something there, Anne, that I think just in terms of kind of thinking of this in a way that wants to be sensitive to people's genuine concerns, whether they're baseless or whether they're founded in medicine or whatever. I would make a distinction as a pastor between someone who says, you know, I don't want to pass this, whatever I got, along, from someone who says, I'm healthy, I don't want anyone passing whatever they got along to me. Those are two different concerns. They both may be equally invalid when it comes to the reception of Christ's body and blood, but they're two different concerns. One is out of a genuine concern not to pass it along, just like you wouldn't shake someone's hands at the door. Sorry, pastor, not going to shake your hands. I have a cold. Oh, thank you for being so considerate. The other is, I don't want somebody else's germs. And that's a different concern. Now, neither of those concerns may be valid. We'll talk about that a little bit later when it comes to the reception of the Lord's Supper. Let's see. Janine in Fairhope, Alabama. Hi, Janine. Thanks for waiting.
I don't think that the church should change its practice of Holy Communion just because it's cold and flu season, because then you have to change it because there's some other epidemic of some kind coming along. People just need to have a little common sense. Don't take communion in the common cup if you're sick. Take it out of the individual cup, or maybe even better, if you're really sick, church and spread it around.
Janine, thank you very much, and thanks for listening in Alabama. What about the rest of you? 1-877-623-6943. Time for a quick phone call here from Illinois. Herman is on the line. Hi, Herman.
Thank you for taking my call. I would say that the example you cited at your church at Trinity at Millstadt is an excellent example. People can still receive the communion in both kinds, and if they, for whatever reason, any time of year, there's the common cup or the individual cup available. I think that is probably the best solution, as you've mentioned there.
Herman, thank you very much. Thanks for listening in Illinois. The question I've laid on the table during this hour of audio open lines, issues, etc., based upon an NBC story that we played a little bit earlier for you, a Roman Catholic group of parishes in Providence, Rhode Island, have decided to change some of their worship practices during flu season, a flu epidemic. And they're saying, look, we're simply going to not offer the chalice, the common cup, during communion because people have health concerns, and we're going to change the way that they share the peace, that is, refrain from handshaking, trying not to pass anything along. What do you make of that? Should the church change its worship practices for health concerns during flu season? 1-877-623-6943-877-623-MYIE. This break is a great time to give us a call or to send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. And I do appreciate the honesty of our listeners who are calling in, telling us how they're going about this, how they're negotiating this question of health concerns during the flu season at church. You can go to our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, and leave your reaction to the NBC story and your comments there as well. When we come back, more of your answer to the question, should the church change its worship practice during flu season?
The church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century.
O come, O come, Emmanuel.
The 16th century.
Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. Hear us who rightly seek us.
The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the logo for the Issues Etc. Journal and Weekly Bulletin insert at IssuesETC.org and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. IssuesETC.org. Look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
Did you know that Logia, a journal of Lutheran theology, sells CDs and audio downloads of teachings by some of the top Lutheran theologians in the country? Check out Logia's 99-cent download of the month at shoplogia.org. Shop Logia.org. You'll also find books published by Luther Academy and, of course, the quarterly Logia Journal at shoplogia.org. Continuing education for the confessional Lutheran, shoplogia.org.
Old theology, new technology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Imagine steadfastlutherans.org as the internet version of your neighborhood pub. Your neighborhood confessional Lutheran pub, that is, where the finest in Lutheran conversation is going on at every table and at the bar, sometimes contentious, but always informative and unabashedly Lutheran. We're only serving Wittenberg Ale. We even have a guy named Norm. So check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.org. We'll save a seat at the bar for you.
If any former evangelicals are hearing me speak right now, I want to assure you, you don't have to be a homeless Christian. If you would go to issuesetc.org, look on their website, you'll find a list of churches. Find one close to you and attend that church. There, you can receive the true gospel, you don't have to be a homeless Christian, and they will not call you a backslider.
To find a church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
At St. Sebastian Church in Providence, a few things are different here for Sunday Mass.
To refrain from shaking hands at the rite of peace, I invited them to just turn and verbally exchange a greeting.
A sign of the times indeed, Monsignor John Darcy says they're not taking any chances when it comes to keeping people healthy.
Until this cold and flu season is abated, the reception of the blood of Christ through the chalice will be postponed.
As a retired nurse, I'm very much concerned.
The flu has all of us taking precautions at work and home. It only makes sense to extend those measures to our place of worship.
I think it's very good because you really have to be careful. And I work in a bank, and we, you know, constantly, like, you know, doing the Purell, going in the back, washing our hands, so.
Which is why Catholic Bishop Thomas Tobin recommended parishes throughout the diocese be proactive. Here at St. Sebastian, in addition to what they wouldn't be doing at Mass, Monsignor Darcy also stressed something his parishioners should be doing.
We're refraining from handshaking and receiving from the cup, but also to pray for those who are presently affected by the flu, especially the elderly and the young.
That's a little story from NBC News that got me thinking earlier today about what our listeners might be doing during this cold and flu season. Should you change worship practices? That's a story of Monsignor John Darcy. You heard his voice there at the end. And St. Sebastian Catholic Church in Providence, Rhode Island. The bishop there in Providence has said, look, congregations that have health concerns now have his permission to make a few changes on Sunday morning to the Mass. Should churches in general be changing worship practices during cold and flu season because people have concerns about health or passing along an illness? 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. I want to know what you think about this, what you've done in your own parish, what you've done in your own individual practice during cold and flu season, anything you might have changed or not changed for that matter. 1-877-623-MYIE. Talk back at issuesetc.org, or if you left space at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, for you to leave your reaction to the story and your questions and comments as well. Let's see what Jan has to say. Jan is listening in Clarksville, Tennessee. Hi, Jan.
Hi, Todd. My short answer is no, don't change anything. I grew up Baptist with the little holy shot glasses, Welch's grape juice, and bread that you picked up out of a plate, and a low view of communion. And then when the Lord graciously brought me and my husband to Lutheranism, why would you not believe that God can preserve you? This is His precious body and blood, His gift to us that bears forgiveness and life for our souls and bodies. Why would you change anything? And besides that, I can't see germs. I don't know if I caught it from the chalice or the person next to me or passing the peace or at work or the grocery cart or what. Thanks.
All right. Thank you very much. And thanks for listening in Clarksville. What about the rest of you? 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org or facebook.com/issuesetc. During the break, one of our fellow pastors called and he made a suggestion here. He said, you know, there is a practice in the church. It's called intinction. You've probably seen someone do it, where someone will take the host, that is the bread, the wafer, and will dip it into the chalice. They don't drink from the chalice, but they dip it into the chalice, and then they put it in their mouth. It's a I don't know if it's an ancient practice. It's a common practice in a lot of parishes. I remember it was a really popular practice back in the day when I was a seminary student, of all things, at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. An awful lot, especially during cold and flu season, an awful lot of those seminarians, maybe a few of the professors as well, would simply take the host and dip it into the chalice rather than receive the chalice to their lips. Now that's, someone might say, well, come on. Aren't we being a little picky here? Well, I got some thoughts on, we want people to receive the Lord's Supper. We want them to receive the Lord's Supper to their benefit. But I'll save some of those thoughts until after I hear from the rest of you. 1-877-623-6943. Who's next here? It's Mike in St. Louis. Hi, Mike.
Hi. I was wondering, you know, I was thinking, my way of thinking about communion here is it's the words that make the communion what the communion is. You know, it's Christ instituted it, you know, like at the Passover supper, and he said, the bread is my body, the wine is my body, wine's my body, or my blood, and all this was for the forgiveness of sins. And whether you take it in a common cup or individual cup, it's the words that make the forgiveness of sins through his body and blood. That's what I think. What do you think?
Mike, thank you very much. Now, see, this is, and I've always been of this mind with respect to the individual cup. That's a kind of a separate issue, but it plays into this one because some people will say, well, you know, during the safe seasons, months of the year, I'm going to take the chalice, and then when I'm a little concerned, I'll take the individual cup because I'm a little more concerned there. Although, I can tell you that I don't think it's any more sanitary. If you're concerned about sanitary issues, just purely sanitary issues, the individual cup is no more sanitary. I'll explain that a little bit later. But look, what do we want people to hang on to in the Lord's Supper? The word of Christ. And that word says something of the bread and the wine, and it does something of the bread and the wine so that they can, not only can hang on to that word, they can receive that bread and that wine without fear. Without fear. Why? Because of Christ's word. Because of Christ's word. So that's a great thing to point out. We hang on to Christ's word. And therefore, now what the argument I'm making here is, therefore, while we might want to ask, what does an individual cup confess about what we think is happening in the Lord's Supper, whether or not it is received an individual cup or chalice, when I commune my parishioners in the hospital, guess what I carry with me? I don't carry the big chalice. I carry an individual cup. Whether it's received that way or other ways, what we want people to hold fast to is the word of Christ. All right, let's see. Up next is Peter calling from his cell. Hi, Peter.
Hey, Pastor. This is kind of a, I've always kind of thought this was kind of a an interesting issue because people really do have concerns. Both my parents work in the healthcare industry. And, I mean, the thing is, people want to be conscientious, and they don't want to, you know, offend their neighbor by perhaps spreading it. But like somebody, I think, actually said recently, you know, you don't know if you're getting it from the common cup or if you're getting it from some other place. Something that people might want to remember is that I can't remember the source, to be honest, but during one of the bouts when the Black Plague was in Wittenberg, Luther stayed. And he stayed, and he kind of opened up his house almost as a hospital. And he was there among the people who were sick and who were dying, and he was there among them doing his work. And another point that people might want to, you know, take into consideration is the fact that, you know, this is Christ's blood. This is the very blood of our Lord and Savior. And if it's going to do us, if it does us any harm from a germ, you know, aspect, I suppose, it's going to work for our eternal benefit, nevertheless. I suppose that's what I wanted to say.
All right, Peter, I like the way you're thinking there. I really do like the way you're thinking there. You know, I'm not a doctor. I am not a specialist in how diseases spread. None of us are, except for people who actually do that for a living. So I've heard all sorts of arguments about the alcohol content. And by the way, most communion wine isn't just your garden variety wine. It's got a little extra alcohol in there. Why? Well, it keeps longer that way. And it also, usually call it fortified, it's got a little something in there just to raise the alcohol content, maybe because in past generations, maybe because of health concerns. And I've heard arguments about the lining of the chalice, if it's gold or silver, that somehow has some sort of a sanitary effect there. I think all of those arguments, as well-meaning as they may be, all of them, may not even be necessary. But what do you think? 1-877-623-6943. Should churches change their worship practices? What about handshaking? The pastor normally is glad-handing every person as they walk out. Right there in the middle of the summer, nobody refrains from getting their hands shook. maybe the pastor says, you know, I'm not going to be shaking your hand on this Sunday because I don't want to get the flu. What would you think if your pastor said that? Or during the sharing of the peace, we're not going to be shaking hands because we don't want to pass the flu along to one another. It's not just communion practice. 1-877-623-6943. Talkback at issuesetc.org or our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Robert is in Conover, North Carolina. He says, changing the practice, he says, fine, as long as the cups are given with the same reverence as the chalice. In my parish, the individual cups are on the altar and consecrated the same as the chalice. No problem there. I have been at some parishes, however, where only the chalice was on the altar. The cups were on a side table away from the altar and were never consecrated with the sign of the cross or elevated. And that is a problem. Now, that's a great question there that we don't have time to go into. Robert, thank you very much. So he says, look, if you have the opportunity for individual cups to alleviate people's concerns, go right ahead and do it. Monica is in Silver Cliff, Colorado. She says, my husband, I presume him to be a pastor. My husband always steps out and washes his hands before communion. I know a lot of pastors that do this. They don't make a big show of it, but they step to the sacristy, which is that often in the churches, the way they're laid out, that door to the side of the chancel. And they go there and they wash their hands before they administer the Lord's Supper. They do that out of courtesy. They also, and there's also a practice of doing that as part of the actual rite of the Lord's Supper. The cleansing of the hands before both the reception and the administration of a symbolic cleansing of the hands before handling the body and blood of Jesus Christ. There are all sorts of reasons for that that don't even include health concerns. We'll get more of your questions and your comments. Should churches be changing their worship practice during cold and flu season, during a flu epidemic, right after this? Thank you for helping us make budget again last year. Thanks to your support, Lutheran Public Radio has been independent and in the black for almost 5 years. You've heard us say, now only our listeners can cancel us, and we mean it. Thanks for listening, thanks for your prayers, and thanks for your financial support. We're looking forward to partnering with you in 2013. Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio for the world, Issues Etc., and sacred music for the world, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Emmanuel Lutheran Church of Pensacola, Florida. Silly with commercials, serious with God.
Howdy, folks. Old Gus here. When I'm not out fixing up something with country bobs or picking on my banjo with Matt, I saddle up and head on down the trail till I hit the white sandy beaches of Pensacola, Florida. And on Sunday, you can find me at Emmanuel Lutheran Church.
Emmanuel Lutheran Church invites you to divine service every Sunday at 8 and 10:30 a.m. Bible classes for all ages at 9:15.
Stay Lutheran, my friends!
Continuing education for the Confessional Lutheran. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Holy Trinity Lutheran, Garfield, New Jersey. Grace Lutheran, Naples, Florida. St. John's Lutheran, Chicago, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Unionville, Michigan. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Beverly Hills, California. Epiphany Lutheran, Door, Michigan. The Good Shepherd Lutheran, Inglewood, California. St. John's Lutheran, Sayville, New York. Apostles Lutheran, Melrose Park, Illinois. Christ Our Savior Lutheran, Elizabeth, Colorado. Grace Lutheran, Strasburg, Illinois. And Bethel Lutheran, Thunder Bay, Ontario, Canada. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal, the Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. 10 more minutes in this hour. Your answer to the question. I hope we can get to all your answers to this question. They're kind of piling up. Should churches change their worship practices on Sunday morning during a flu epidemic? 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month is a great little book written by Martin Luther. He wrote it as a letter, I believe, to his barber, if I'm not mistaken, Peter by name. And then it was later published and republished, and it has been translated and published again by Pastor Matt Harrison and Concordia Publishing House. It's called A Simple Way to Pray. And I remember coming across this a long time ago in another English translation, and it is, hands down, some of the best pastoral wisdom from Martin Luther on the subject of prayer, save the catechism. It is marvelous stuff. It's Luther at his best. It's Luther, the man who thinks incisively about something as simple as A Simple Way to Pray. It's a great little book, and it's very affordable. It's The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for January, A Simple Way to Pray by Martin Luther and translated by Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org, or you can call Concordia Publishing House, and it's so inexpensive you can order one, two, and give it away. A bunch of them, and give them away. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. A Simple Way to Pray, The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for January. Carrie in Minnesota says this: I'm not worried about getting ill when I take communion. I don't think practice should change. My church offers both individual and the chalice. I want to continue to receive the blood of Christ from the chalice. Carrie, thank you very much for listening in Minnesota. Caitlin listens in Canada. Alcohol kills most germs. Even a common cup will kill the majority of the germs. I know that the church that I attended while at university went out of their way to have hand sanitizer dispensers or bottles available after the H1N1 scare. Remember, that was the other big flu epidemic that had everybody. Was that the bird flu? I think that's what that was, H1N1, that had everybody worried about. Look, let's not minimize this. The flu is a serious problem, especially for the elderly and the young. And there was a time right around in the history of the United States before the advent of better medicine when a worldwide epidemic, I guess you'd call that a pandemic, of flu killed millions of people. Millions of people died from the flu around World War I. So it is a serious concern. There is a reason why all of the health centers issue these warnings. There's a reason why they have flu shots. We're not talking about taking the other reasonable precautions that we would in the ordinary course of life against the flu or throwing caution to the wind. We're asking, what about those things that the church does on Sunday morning? Should those be changed during a flu epidemic? 1-877-623-6943. Joshua listens in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joshua says, actually, the cups have more hands, and he's talking about the individual cups. They have more hands that touch them, especially around the rim. The cup has alcohol and precious metal, usually gold or silver. He's quite right. And I will gladly drink from and consume the remnant after everyone has drank from it. And I do, he says, which is a very common practice of many pastors after the chalice has returned to the altar and everyone has been communed. The pastor will consume the remainder. After everyone has drunk from the chalice, he will consume the remainder. And Joshua in Cheyenne, Wyoming says yes. And he does make a point there, and that was my point about the individual cups. and you would be amazed. There are companies out there that have all sorts of very clever inventions to alleviate health concerns about the individual cups. The way that the wine is dispensed into the cups, the way that the cups are handled, you never have to touch them. There was one, where were we? We were at Joel Osteen's church in Houston, Texas, Lakewood. We did not commune there. We wouldn't, of course, but we observed a communion service there where everything was wrapped in plastic. The only hands that ever touched anything that went in your mouth, and it was grape juice and bread, were your own. So you could get germs from yourself, but nobody else. It was all hermetically sealed for your protection, which I thought was kind of overkill. But, you know, we live in a germophobic society. Rebecca in Mankato, Minnesota says, silver also kills germs, and so the silver/alcohol combo of a common cup could very well be curative. I'll return to that in a minute here. Rich says, we have both common cup and individual cups all the time. No change for us. I wash my hands before communion all the time anyway. But I announced that I would not be shaking hands, not for my sake, but for those I visit, so I may not be an unwitting transmitter. Now, I understand that pastoral concern as well. Rich, thank you very much. That when you the pastor goes out and visits a lot of people, and you don't want the pastor to be the carrier of the latest bug to all the old people. And so I think just out of common courtesy, the pastor will go and be very, very careful when he's having contact with people who have compromised health issues. He's going to be extra careful, just out of courtesy to those he visits. Timothy in Hillsboro, North Carolina says, I would rather get the flu from receiving the blood of Christ in the historic manner than be deprived of it, or have to throw back Jesus' blood from a shot glass. It's all adiaphora, I guess, he says. And I understand your concern there, Timothy, and I thank you for listening, but I think I used to be one of those guys that bristled at the notion of talking about Jesus jiggers or shot glasses. And I don't think anyone intended the individual cups to be viewed as shots. I know they look a lot like shots, but I don't think anyone ever intended that. And let's be careful. Let's be careful how we refer to the piety of other Christians. And this is part of the piety of other Christians, that we don't demean it unnecessarily. If you want to make a case against individual cups, and many do, feel free, but make it on the basis of what is confessed by them. Make it on the basis of what may be wrongly confessed by them, what it may teach about the Lord's Supper that's not in line with the Lord's teaching. And we don't have to call them shot glasses or Jesus jiggers or any of those kind of things. We just don't have to do that if you want to make a case against the individual cup. Jake in Fort Wayne, Indiana says, no, he doesn't think things should change. For the sake of discussion, could Pastor Wilkin respond to something I've heard before on this issue? It's the body and blood of Christ, and it can't give you the flu. I will in just a few minutes. Mark in Brookfield, Wisconsin says, I'm kind of a germaphobe. I think everybody is. Except for young mothers who have lots of kids. They've given up. He says, I avoid the common cup at all costs, so please take this with a grain of salt. But hand sanitizer next to the hymnals would be a great idea. You know, those hymnals get handled a lot, about as much as money. Doorknobs and hymnals. It's probably where you're getting the flu at church. Of course, and that's probably why a lot of these churches decide to drop the hymnal and go to a screen. Isn't that ridiculous? Of course, I know that the body and blood and the faith and forgiveness are in and under, so it doesn't mean that the lips of my brother or my sister are free from influenza virus when they drink it. I feel the worse for the pastor who typically shakes everyone's hand on the way out of church. Pastors are careful, by the way. They shake the hands, but usually they very quickly wash them. Pastors are careful. They know exactly what's going on there. Thanks for listening to Brookfield. Michael in Illinois says, at his altar, God gives you the medicine of immortality, as the church fathers put it, and there is no need to forego the chalice. Also, what would change? Most of the congregation have both the chalice and the individual cups available at the Eucharist already. Good point. Very good point. Thanks for listening in Illinois. Alicia says, skip the handshaking. You can greet someone without shaking hands. It passes the cough and the sneeze germs from person to person. I'd like to see the practice eliminated year-round, not just flu season. It's not mandatory to shake hands. It's socially, maybe there's a kind of a social mandatory nature to it. Mark in St. John's, Michigan says, as a Lutheran communing in one kind, doesn't cut very well. I have been afraid of communing before. For churches that have both individual and chalice offered, there isn't a problem. I'm curious if more people will be taking the individual cup. I will stay with the common chalice. I have heard that some churches will wipe the chalice with vodka in between tables. Some do. Some do. Even mine. A little vodka goes a long way in wiping the rim of the chalice between tables. Not always, but we do occasionally. If a higher alcohol content would kill the germs, that might be a good idea. I believe that the pastor should be keenly aware of hygiene and wash his hands after shaking everyone's hand. And that's, again, we're asking for courtesy here. Christian in Minnesota says, I visited a parish where the pastor suggested pastoral fist bumps. Oh, my goodness. We don't need that. Look, my time is very short. We want people to receive the body and blood of Christ for the forgiveness of sins. I'm not a doctor. I can't tell you that the flu isn't in there. I can't. But I can tell you what is in there. What is in that cup? The very blood of Christ shed at the cross for you for the forgiveness of sins. And he gives it to you with his word and his promise. Christ is there. He's not absent. He hasn't left some grubby-handed guy like me to mishandle his body and blood. Christ is here as host and as feast to give you his body and blood for the forgiveness of sins. And he wants you to have it. Let's lay aside the issue of whether you receive it in an individual or the common cup. That's a discussion for another time. This is the medicine of immortality. The church was right when it recognized that. I'm not saying you won't get the flu from it. I will tell you what you will get from it. You will receive Christ's blood, his body, for the forgiveness of your sins. Can I give you medical certainty that you won't get sick? No, but I can give you biblical certainty that what you receive there is for your good. It is the highest good. We say this, Lord, may your body and your blood be for my soul. And we can also add there, for my body, the highest good. Did you know that whether you are fearful, and I understand if you're fearful, I really do, whether you're fearful of the germs or not, did you know that what's going to raise your dead body out of the grave on the last day is the body and blood of Jesus Christ you receive in the Lord's Supper? That is what is going to bring you to the resurrection. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc. Talk with you tomorrow.
Weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc., and you.